Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for joining, and welcome to the Norsk Skog Industries third quarter conference call. My name is Lisa, and I'll be your coordinator for today. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-answer session, and instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If during the call you require assistance, please press star and zero, and the coordinator will be happy to assist you. I'd also like to remind this conference is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Tom Rogn to start. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Tom Rogn. I'm the Head of Investor Relations at Norske Skog. Welcome to the third quarter conference call. I'm joined by the CEO, Svein Lomvik Svendsen, and the CFO, Rune Nilsson. We also have the Senior Vice President, Commercial, Jan Klaas, with us today. Shortly, now, the CEO will give a short introduction on the key highlights of the quarter.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the telephone conference following our third quarter. In brief, the highlights were an EBITDA on par with the first quarter, slightly down from the second quarter, reported at 176 million NOK. In the quarter, we received the compensation for breach of contract on some of the volumes in Australia. We have received cash from those, which helped our operational cash flow before financial items to a positive 17, despite some build-up of working capital for pre-marketing magazine volumes into Australia. This amount will be, in accordance to accounting rules, will be spread over the next 8 quarters, including this quarter. The net debt increased to about 6.9 billion, started the year at 6 and ended the second quarter at about 6.6. Two-thirds of the year-to-date increase is related to the appreciation of the Norwegian crown towards the mainly the dollar, but also other relevant currencies. The rest is in principle the weak result and the relatively by for us at least CapEx, given the two maintenance projects which are ongoing and which are about to be completed, one of them at the end of this year and another one in the first quarter of next year. In Europe we've had some price improvements in the second half of the year with the newsprint in particular, and also some improvements on super calendar, while lightly coated has been more flattish with more weaker demand picture. And finally, in our own camp, we have after the quarter announced the divestment of the Thai mill, the single unit, for enterprise value, our equity stake plus some debt of $33 million, which we will then receive in the fourth quarter. On other capacity news, we have announced a temporary curtailment of one machine, the PM4, at Walsum in Germany, producing lightweight cotton. And just to be clear on this, there is one machine that will still run at Walsum, so half of the capacity roughly is taken out. And we will now go into the negotiations with unions on the future of that machine, but it will stop production in the second part of December this year, and given the present outlook, it's more likely than not that the machine will remain out for a prolonged period of time and possibly not even restart. On that note, I suggest you open up for Q&A.
Certainly, thank you. So ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question on the telephone, please press the star key followed by 1, record your name and press the hash or pound key. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. If you change your mind and decide to withdraw your question, please press star followed by 2. Once again, it's star, then 1, record your name and press the hash or pound key on your telephone. Okay, we now have a few questions lined up. Your first question is from...
Roland Fox.
Please go ahead.
Hi there. I just wanted to ask about the reference in the slides to the various liquidity initiatives you're working on. Well, first of all, is there any progress to update on the AOR facility? And what alternatives might you be considering, please?
I will leave... this question to you, Rune.
Well, I think the slide, I'm not quite sure which slide you're referring to, but the obviously if there was something material to report, we would have reported it. And as I said in the conference call in Norway earlier today, we are obviously working and looking at this and working on solutions. When there is something to report on it, we will report.
Is that an AR facility and alternatively a replacement revolver, or what could the potential solutions look like?
I'm not going to get into details on that, but we have talked about securitizations numerous times before, so no, that wouldn't be out of the question.
Okay. And I think you have a concentration of maturities and also the coupons again in June next year, so is that a significant deadline you're looking at in terms of getting something in place, or without it, do you think you'd be able to manage those timings?
I think when it comes to the deadline of this, I think, of course, we are aware of the maturity schedule also for next year and even beyond. But I think it's also fair to say that we probably are a little bit more ambitious than June next year. We don't really need a lot on the old RCF with that maturity in May. So I think we have the time, but at the same time for, let's say, on internal purposes also, we probably want to conclude this by year and some kind of facility.
And then in terms of asset sales, there's only one significant asset, I guess, of non-core would be the Malaysian JV stake. Is that something you're one more sale you're considering?
I think we have now, we still carry 49% of the Brazilian operation, which, you know, we have contracted to sell, which will happen during 2014 most likely, and we have the, as you say, the Malaysian stake. Both of these can be considered as financial holdings, so it's something we will certainly look at selling, and it's something that we, in the terms of Brazil, will sell, and in terms of Malaysia, will sell if the price is right.
But could they be material cash in events rather than before June 14 again?
Yes.
Okay, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. Our next question is from the line of
Tom Moore.
Please go ahead. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I imagine we've all got a similar list, so I'll keep it short. The query I had was on the working capital movement. I think the magnitude of the outflows came as a little bit of a surprise based on your comments back in July. So I wonder if you could give us a little bit more color on that, and then also what you're anticipating in terms of working capital movement for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right that something changed between now and July, so we are, let's say, undershooting, if you like. You have a higher working capital tie-up of about 170 million NOK compared to what you should have believed when you spoke to us in July. And this is due to higher and earlier shipments of magazine paper from Europe into Australia. So with the weakening of the Australian dollar compared to the euro, there is a greater demand from our customers, coupled with an increase in demand for lightweight coated locally. There is a greater demand for magazine paper, and given our conversion projects that comes on stream with products to customers second quarter next year, we have taken the opportunity to ship from Europe now in the third quarter. You know, it's a two-month sailing distance to Australia, and so we want to be there basically now towards the end and the beginning of next year, so we can actually compete for the annual contracts or the annual volume contracts that we're putting out for next year. So we have indeed shipped volume, which is partly on the ocean, partly in port in Australia, which accounts for this deviation, which you correctly spotted. When it comes to the fourth quarter, we will, as always, I should say, in the fourth quarter, focus on working capital, particularly the year-end stock levels. The counter to this could be price movements. We expect price increases, particularly on SE and newsprint in Europe. They even maybe also provide their quota, so it's clear that they may be more stock if there's a price increase than if it was not. So that is the qualification. But in principle, we will try to manage for release of working capital in the fourth quarter. Furthermore, the closure of the Valsund machine, which I talked about for the second half of December, will also release, say, over and above normalized working capital, which will then happen during the first quarter of 2014.
All right. In terms of the order of magnitude that you're anticipating based on all of the knowledge that you have now, the previous guidance was for, I seem to remember a number of 150 million net working capital benefits for the year 2013. Should we just take out the 100 and a bit outflow from this quarter and be left with net 50, or would you guide us to a different number?
I think certainly the release of the working capital build now we will always be in the first half or in the first quarter of next year effective.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, did that answer your question?
Yes, I'll step back in.
Okay, you finished. Lovely. So moving on, our next question is from...
Julian Massari.
Okay, please go ahead. Thank you.
I'd like to ask two questions, Ari. First of all, could you please explain, the source of cash that you expect to have in hand to repay the maturities of 2014 bonds and also the coupons at that time, considering your minimum cash requirements? Second question that I'll have here is, it seems that your newsprint in Europe has actually stabilized on a year-on-year basis. Could you please explain why you have been unable to translate this revenue stabilization into a stabilization of the gross operating earnings, and whether you expect this to happen in the next two quarters? Thank you.
I think to start with the latter one, the third quarter result is impacted by two stops. One is a wanted voluntary market stop and the PMC in Norway and Skong. The other stop is the annual maintenance stop in Norway in September. So this impacts the earning quality. Obviously, if we could have avoided the maintenance stop, which we can't, then we would have wanted to sell the volumes from Gold Day, so that is the main explanation why you could say that it has not been an improvement in margin despite the fact that there is a price improvement in the marketplace. When it comes to the liquidity sources, we still talk about the same type of liquidity that will be compared to today. There will be a working capital release. We will receive the payments from the Shinburi mill in Thailand. We will receive payments from the agreed sale in Brazil, and we will also have to deal with the lumpiness of the interest payments. We will have liquidity facilities with financial providers, being banks or others, to deal with those in due course.
Can we go to the next question, please?
Okay, certainly. Thank you for your question. Our next question is from...
Theo Stamos.
Please go ahead.
Hi guys, thanks for taking my question. When you think about your balance sheet, I mean, what kind of thoughts are going through your head in terms of a possible restructuring? I mean, do you really think that repaying the 14s is the most responsible course of action at this point in time?
I think it's the only responsible course of action.
I mean, and the current cash interest expense in your company is kind of burdened under you. That's also the appropriate amount of cash interest for your company right now?
Pardon?
Do you think your current cash interest expense is also appropriate for your company right now?
If I had the luxury of going back to 2006, I would have chosen a different capital structure, but I don't have that luxury if I relate to the fact that they are.
You could try to engineer a restructuring of your balance sheet.
That's
something you're Is that something you're looking into at the moment? I'm just curious.
Is it a question or a comment?
It's a question. Are you currently contemplating a balance sheet restructuring?
We are, at all points, we have paid our dues and we will continue to do so. I don't really see that there is any responsible action which could indicate something else.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question. Our next question is from... Okay, caller, it's not recorded your name. If you could please take yourself off mute and ask your question. Okay, caller, we can't hear you. Okay, as we get no response from this line, I shall move on to the next person. Okay, please go ahead with your question. Thank you.
You mentioned that you expect the proceeds for the 50% of pizza you've not sold to be received before June 14. Is it something that you were mentioning? I was not totally sure about this.
No, it's clear that we have agreed the sale of the last 49% of pizza. We have agreed the terms of it. It will, as you remember from the past discussion when this deal was done, there are several installments of the remainder, which will then come in due course before the 2014 maturities.
And in terms of CapEx, so I think this year you have to spend a lot of CapEx on new projects. What kind of guidance can you give us for CapEx? You mentioned that you want to reduce CapEx, but about how much can you reduce it? What will be the guidance for 2014 for CapEx?
Two maybe slightly different comments to the question. One is the maintenance CapEx now in the present configuration of the group is probably in the magnitude of 200 million NOK per annum. 2014 will probably be a little bit higher as we still have the commissioning of the boiler mill is in the first quarter. In other words, there is still some CapEx to be spent on that project, while the Norwegian project will be completed this year. The boiler project still runs into 2014, so there will be some CapEx from that project. So, let's say a more realistic guidance for 2014 is probably in the range of 300 million.
And just in terms, if you could comment on Oceania, Australia, what's happening to the decline we see in the market? Is it the underlying decline of the market, or is this something more happening? Because we're talking about big decline. So is there a destocking going on, or do you think it's just the underlying market which is just going down that way?
There may be some quarter-to-quarter destocking or stocking effects, but it's basically this year I think we have seen in reality declines of some 18 to 19% in consumption, driven by several factors, one being a relatively weak retail economy. So both real estate and car sales and white goods prices, etc., are relatively weak despite relatively healthy still compared to Europe, at least mainline economic data in Australia. Second factor is that we have seen some customers who have actively reduced particularly rural cycles and or distribution, and also seen active cutting of soft demand, the free coffee, the hotels, airlines, etc. So this is still going on. It started in earnest probably last year, and it's still going on. So this wine list effect will be less going forward. I still think that we will see relatively weak demand also in the fourth quarter of this year from Australia. Having said all that, there's still at least two main publishers in Australia who still are quite dependent on this market, and we still continue to invest in printing presses and all the things. So this is certainly going to be happening out, but I don't think that we have seen the end of it just quite.
That's clear. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for your question. Our next question is from... Okay, caller, the system's not recorded your name. If you could please take yourself off mute and ask your question. Hello, caller. Your line is open. If you could please ask your question. Okay. As we get no response from that line, I shall move on to the next question.
Duncan Blake.
Okay, please go ahead with your question. Thank you.
Yeah, hi there, good afternoon. Just a quick couple of questions. The first one in relation to the cash flow from financing. You know, you obviously paid down, you paid back a little gold, that's all gone. Can you just clarify, I might have missed where the, you know, the 95 million NOK, the small new loans raised, that's come from, where that's come from?
Can you just repeat the question?
Can you hear me?
Okay,
so basically I'm just looking at your cash flow statement for the third quarter, and we can see that you've repaid your revolver, 689 million outflow, that's all fine. Just trying to clarify where the small 95 million inflow, the new loan, has come from, what you've drawn down on.
Okay, we believe that is due to Singuri. They have a typically are very short term funded and roll their loans frequently, so that's what that is.
So in other words, a local facility in Thailand. So yeah. This is related to the Thai facility has its own basically financing unrelated to the company, and this goes up and down quite frequently as they have surplus or deficit of cash, and this facility will obviously follow the sale of the facility, of the NIM itself, and will disappear from the fourth quarter.
Okay, so that goes on to the second. That explains the 170 million payback for Q4. Is that tied into that?
Yeah, that's mainly local facilities, the majority of which will be rolled.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your question. Our next question is from...
Nitin Dias.
Go ahead, thank you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a few questions. The first one was in the Australia conversion. I know it's a 2-3 year payback period, but for 20, with a 480 million investment, but for 2014, should we assume that the EBITDA impact of somewhere between, say, 120 to 160 million, 120 to 40 million NOX, that only will benefit the three quarters, which is Q2 to Q4? Is that a reasonable assumption?
Yes, it's certainly reasonable. The commissioning is in the first quarter, and we expect products to flow from the second quarter onwards, so indeed 9 months out of time.
Understood. The second question was, the newsprint prices, when I translated them into euros, were almost flat on a sequential basis, but most of the industry got some price increases in the low single-digit ballpark for Q3 versus Q2. Can you help us understand why did your pricing on a per-ton basis not go up as much?
This is partly due to the fact that we have maintenance shut single day in September, so you have a mixed effect, which is in principle negative compared to positive price effect in the third quarter itself compared to the second.
But should we assume that pricing, it catches up in the fourth quarter, therefore fourth quarter sequential pricing in euros on average may be up a small single-digit percentage versus Q3?
Yeah, at least versus the pricing itself versus Q2 is up, and then you get more effects in the volumes for October, November. Yes, clearly for December it's still a bit early to say, as we, depending on what we see for next year, if we sell more volumes now or if we start to wait until January. So, but from a pure theoretical basis, the answer is yes, but practically it's a commercial decision which we will take on a somewhat shorter notice.
Okay. And then when you guided for maintenance capex of about 200 million, is that pro forma for the sale of the Thailand mill?
Thailand has very little capex, so I think it doesn't really matter if you include it or not. It's a small operation which we have spent very little money.
Okay. And then on Thailand, you said that $33 million was the enterprise value. How much would be the cash inflow from the Thailand sale?
About $31.5 million and $1.5 million of debt, which will then go out if you compare to the end of the tunnel.
Okay. And then on your one of your slides, you have the FX and others when you're trying to show an EBITDA bridge from Q2 to Q3, and FX impact, FX and others of negative $30 million. Can you help us understand what that refers to? I know Australian dollar was weaker relative to the Norwegian kroner, but I struggled to kind of assume that the weakness in the translation impact caused a $30 million delta on a sequential basis. So can you help us understand what that sequential?
It also includes the consolidation effect of the Brazilian operations.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you for your question. Our next question is from
Gorbachev.
Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my questions. A quick one on the Vulcan temporary closure. Are you expecting any charges or should you factor any costs relating to this closure, please?
Today we're still only announcing a temporary shutdown, so there's no cost or benefits even from the working capital release that you can really factor in. But obviously, if we reach an agreement with our unions and decide to close this permanently, there will be a working capital release, which will partly be offset by redundancy costs. So we are not, in any case, shutting down a full mill site, so it will be one machine, so you will have some redundancy costs, which will be offset by the working capital. Those two effects will happen if we reach a satisfactory conclusion with our unions and eventually decide finally to shut it down.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question. Our next question is from...
Giant Kambalam.
Okay, please go ahead. Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just had a few, please. Firstly, just wanted to understand your view on how the cost base is developing. Particularly, I wanted to understand your thoughts on the recycled the paper prices. So do you think that the current market, you face margin pressure because of where the recycled, European recycled prices are going, vis-a-vis the new sprint?
We have seen some increases in recovered paper prices now after the summer holidays, partly because of low recycling and collection rates, and or more collection rather than recycling probably, after the summer holidays. And we see some price increases too in France, where we have the main consumption of recovered paper. Austria is a little bit more flattish, but you're right that this is an area where we've seen some upward pressure. The other side, the timber costs in the Nordic countries are still coming down, so all in all the fiber movements are not there, but it's true that there has been some increases in recovered paper prices in the third quarter, but for ourselves the picture is still quite flattish on variable or cost of materials. But the
situation is great. Thanks for the color. Just sticking on the cost, I just wanted to understand how exactly do you view the energy cost development that we're in our case, especially with the various changes in the contractual agreements with some of the providers, and what I believe from some of the results which I've seen even today from other Nordic paper producers, electricity prices are really going up. And so, I mean, is there something in the near future that you'd be worried about, or are you at this point much more better position than you were earlier?
I think when it comes to power pricing, the Norwegian power contracts we have are long-term on a flat or firm basis, so there's no movement in the cost of materials in the Norwegian mills. I think you probably refer to our other Nordic competitors, and they probably have a slightly different energy situation than we have in general. European energy prices have come up a little bit since the summer, but they're quite low in the summer, so also here it's not a great deal of movement. Overseas our energy costs are also quite predictable, so we do not see a lot of movements in our energy cost line.
Great. And just a couple more quick ones, if I may. Just on working capital, I understood your comment about probably having the full reversal of the current build-up sometime in the first quarter or even the first half of next year when the shipments are actually sold, technically. What I was wondering was that usually you, as you rightly pointed out, you have a reversal in Q4, but a simultaneous build-up as well in Q1. So, of course, over the past years, it's been moderating, and it's not really been the heavy outflow which usually is seen in Q1. But I wanted to know your view on how this gap is going to be bridged, especially with where the current liquidity is, the fact that you may not be able to get the piece of proceeds, let's say, by the end of Q1 or maybe after Q1, just assuming. And I'm not too sure where the secure decision talks are going. So given all the various moving parts and the general build-up which you see in Q1, I just wanted to understand how we should build our numbers so that we get a more proper view of the credit here. Thanks.
I think it's unlikely that we will have huge build-ups in Q1. The big effect that you mentioned on this magazine shipment to Australia, you will see a build-down in Q1 or first half next year even, and you will see an effect of the temporary shut-in of Valsum, which will also reduce working capital in the first quarter, so it's highly unlikely that you will see an increase in the first quarter. Then, of course, it depends also on the last factor in that equation is the price development in Europe. So if you see a price improvement, which we believe, we will certainly then restrict the loan sales in the last part of December and try to move more volumes into January. So all of that will probably mean that there is certainly no working capital build-up in the first quarter. The other liquidity elements are what we already discussed on this call, and we have several initiatives which will secure the maturities as they come the maturity in 2014.
Right. Thanks a lot for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Our next question is from Anselicia. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I just was wondering whether you could give some guidance towards your finance costs going into the fourth quarter. Obviously, you have a couple of coupon payments to make that you basically paid back your bank line. So I was wondering what type of number you're going to look into to have in the fourth quarter on financing items.
Still about 150 million, which will be booked per quarter as an interest expense.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your question. Our next question is from
Brian O'Brien.
Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I've got two quick ones, really. Historically, you guys have, you know, guided to some pretty big price increases on the paper side, which haven't materialized. And your working capital movements, again, I know the Australia issue is there, but again, hasn't really materialized. You said today that you think it's responsible to pay the 2014s. Don't you guys think you're violating your fiduciary duty to bondholders beyond the 2014s? I mean, you're not generating the EBITDA necessary to sustain this capital structure. So, you know, I just want to understand why you think it's necessary or responsible to pay these bonds.
I think anything else would be clearly violating the fiduciary responsibility, so I don't think that we need to go into a very long debate about this.
Okay, and just my second question, I just want to get an idea on the CapEx differential between building a new bio mill or cardboard mill relative to converting your existing mills. Would it be more beneficial to do a conversion or is it actually cheaper to just build a new mill from scratch? Thanks.
It depends, I guess, on what type of grades you go into and certainly the infrastructure at the mill site. You're on clearly a brownfield will in most cases be cheaper than a greenfield, but will carry with it its limitations in terms of all the possibly old infrastructure. So I don't think there is any one single answer to that. But it's clear that some of our mills can be converted, some others cannot in a reasonable way. So I think it's a relatively complex evaluation. But it's clear, as we do now, with a, let's say, call it a more modification type of conversion in Australia, which proves, I think, to be a good project. The general conversion of the mills could be difficult. You have bits of the paper rolls, you have the utility structure on site, you have logistics, you have a lot of things to take into consideration, but by and large, it's not clear that all mills are very well suited for conversions.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you for your question. Our next question is from
David Gladstone.
Okay, please go ahead. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon, gents. Earlier, you mentioned the recent change of government in Norway, and you alluded to perhaps a change in their approach or a more proactive level of state support for your industry. Can you elaborate on that? And should we be realistically expecting something from that?
I think the new government has stated that they certainly will look into the various industrial platforms, and one of them being wood processing industries, which they will do relatively soon. I think we have been relatively clear with the former government and certainly this government in opposition. What we want, and we want certainly to see a lifting of weight restrictions on timber transportation. We want to see a realistic CO2 compensation scheme where both our mills are included. And we also want to see some local property taxes being either reduced or abolished, in addition to other factors where we have some success also with the past government in actually trying to limit possible cost increases. So I think this is the list. We have indicated that this list, if you look away from the currency, is around 200 million in cost for us if we get everything picked off. And I'm absolutely certain we will get something out of this. But it will certainly not be a revolution from day one to day two. But I'm cautiously optimistic that we will get something.
Understood. Thanks very much.
Thank you for your question. Our next question is from
Ida Carney.
Please go ahead. Thank you.
Hello. Hi. I just wanted to explore the fourth quarter in a bit more detail. You speak about improving margins and largely courtesy of the exchange rate. So, I mean, do you think that the fourth quarter we're looking at sort of an EBITDA that would be in line with Q3, or can we expect a slight improvement from these levels? Also, in the same quarter, the question has been asked, but in a different way. On the working capital, you typically get a working capital inflow in cash terms in Q4, and I get the sense that it's not going to be as large as usual, so if we could also talk about that. And those are the two initial questions.
Yeah. When it comes to the currency, it's true that we so far we haven't seen any material benefit of the weakening of the NOK in the operation, so this will, if the currency levels stay where they are, this will flow through into the future, and we say that 1% over a full year is somewhere between 20 and 30 million. What has disrupted this picture so far this year is the fact that the Australian dollar has not moved in favor when you look at the operational translation effect. But it is true that if currency stays at present levels, you will see an improvement in our reported figures in NOX.
In the fourth quarter, specifically, do you think we can sort of hope for a better number than we've seen this quarter in earnings? Or is it too soon to say?
I think it's clear if the currency stays at, let's say, the average level of September, then yes, but this is a big sort of if, because then there are movements quite clearly. But let's say, yes, they stay for the rest of the quarter, certainly we will have an effect, as it were. Let's say the working capital, if you look at our operational model, we will certainly look to reduce working capital at the year end, which we will normally do, and we will have the seasonal effects also this year. The two qualifying elements which I also talked about in this call is if we see price increases, and we certainly see them today, that means that we may decide to have some more volumes at the year end to set up higher prices going forward. And obviously into the first quarter you may have a higher value of the receivables. The second item is this magazine pre-marketing into Australia, which we have started the shipments, which will only be reversed over into 2014. So all in all, we will probably see a slightly, let's say, less working capital release than we normally see. And although we have taken probably most of the Australian hit forward in the third quarter with a 120 million roughly increase this represents.
But you're expecting ultimately a cash inflow from working capital in Q4 still, is that fair?
Unless you have a huge price increase in Europe, yes.
Okay. And on the prices, just I hope the question wasn't asked, but obviously you should be starting negotiations now, or very soon, I think. Or have they started yet?
There's always negotiations, so yes, some have started, some have not.
And on what basis are you talking about price increases, when you talk about price increases, I mean...
Well, I think we talked about price increases both in terms of newsprint and FT, which are meaningful. Lightly coated obviously is a little bit weaker market balance, but also there it's not we cannot rule out price increases. We still go for them across the board. Where we eventually land, there will be the usual mix of customers, countries, products, which will see different results. But we have seen, let's say, numbers out there also by all the people talking about sort of a reference pricing of 520. We have now probably about 470, 480, so this will not certainly be the reference average number for all our figures, but certainly we will move into the 5 area and...
Okay.
And that we'll see.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your question. Our next question is from...
Yeah,
I finished my work. Okay, please go ahead with your question. Thank you.
Yeah, just following up a question. I'm looking at your slide, the last point. What when you mentioned new government policy for improvements in the Norwegian regulatory framework, what are you referring to? 24.
We are referring to the fact that the new government has said they will look at the framework for industry and specifically for the wood processing industry. And we have a list of requirements where we see that we are presently disadvantaged in the legislation. Everything from transportation to real estate tax to funding possibilities, and the government after its inauguration has repeated that this is one of their early and prioritized activities. So all in all, I think we have stated that if these, we have a 5-point list detailing this out, and if these are all fulfilled to our satisfaction, we have about a 200 million NOK net benefit per annum compared to today's scope situation.
Trying to get 200 million NOK of cost benefit, which will come from subsidized or
reduction? It's not transportation. It means that you have a similar transportation option as our Swedish competitors, basically meaning that you are allowed to transport more timber per truck, for instance. So it's a pure operational cost which can be changed by regulations, change of regulations from the government.
And when do you expect to be able to process those changes?
We expect that this is something that we are now actively looking at. It's rather clear from our side what we want and what would be reasonable to do. And then the ball, I guess, is in the government's court. What we mention here is that it's a positive signal from the new government that they included this in their inauguration talks.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question. The next question is from
Chris Lindekew.
Please go ahead. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. I have one question, if I may, relating to your new longer-term price contract in Australia. Is it possible to give us a bit more detail and an indication as to whether this will have a margin impact going forward, whether positive or negative?
There's two aspects to this. We'll try to give some color, but because of, let's say, present interpretation of accounting rules, it's a little bit opaque, unfortunately. But one of our customers, which is not the most significant customer, but still an important customer, we have received a break for the old contract. We have renewed this on market terms. So for the next couple of years, you will not see in our figures a huge difference. What this contract enables us is to receive some cash up front, which we have received, and against that we have prolonged the contract all the way till 2020, which would otherwise have expired in 2015. So it's still the same principle that basically we take the volume risk, but the pricing is actual margin per ton for us is more or less predictable, but the total tonnage is not. So in that sense, I don't think you would see a huge difference than you otherwise would have done in the report to DBTA, the way accounting now works. But on the cash side, you have then, let's say, a positive advance also on the sizes. I cannot, because it's a commercial contract, so it cannot be too specific, but since you're talking about this, it's obviously not a completely insignificant amount.
Thank you. Do you expect to reach a similar agreement with the other major customer in Australia?
It would not surprise me.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your question. Our next question is from... Okay, caller, the system's not recorded your name. If you could please go ahead and announce yourself.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Okay, we can hear you. Thank you.
As attendant, here's the devil. Thank you for the question. I have one clarification question related to the Brazil stake sale. The 49%, is the sale exercisable at the option of Norske Skog, or is this a buyer's option to exercise that?
There were a couple of conditions in the sale which needed to be fulfilled, in the meantime they are being fulfilled as we speak, if you like. So it's sort of a, both parties have the option, but certain things needed to happen which were in our control, at least most of them, and I think that we have good progress on fulfilling those conditions. So everything is going according to plan, but there is a sort of a mechanism where both parties have the same incentive to make sure that 100% is sold during next year.
And when do you expect the cash to come in from this sale? In the first quarter or in the kind of fourth quarter?
I think it's still important that there are different tranches, so the cash will probably come also in tranches throughout the year. I said this before, and I'll repeat this, that we are aware of our material when we do this type of transaction.
Okay. And can I just clarify, John, Australian contract renegotiation, this is just referring to one of the contracts, one of the customers, and the remaining contracts for most of the customers are still maturing 2015. Is that correct?
That is correct for those, yes.
So the amount of cash up front, then, can you give us an indication of the size? I would have thought that that's a pretty, not a large sum, but if you could clarify that, that would be great. Thanks.
Yeah, I cannot give you the amount there, but it's obviously not a completely insignificant amount, although it would not have been mentioned, but I cannot give you a specific number. Simply for commercial reasons, from our side, we would not have a problem with it, but it's a commercial contract between a buyer and a seller, so we have an obligation to keep that tight.
Okay. Do you have an updated minimum cash you need to run the business following 2 million sales and the kind of possibility of the Walton being shut down first quarter?
It's less than the ball.
It'd be about 200 to 300 million.
Okay, great. Those are all the questions I have. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Our next question is from...
I just have some further questions on this Australian negotiation. I understand you cannot mention the amounts. Can you tell us what proportion this client constitutes of your total sales into Australia?
Probably about 20%, I guess, in that
about
50.
Okay. For the question, you have some non-cash adjustments in the newsprint outside Europe. Any chance to explain where they come from? It's 40 million NOX.
So can you repeat
when I get the question?
It's the question, sorry.
I think there are like non-cash adjustments coming through your P&L, so reconciling versus the cash flow. I'm just trying to understand where those are coming from.
Something you can maybe get back to you after the call, is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Okay, that's fine. And the last question is, you have 820 million of cash. Do you have access to all of that cash, or is the proportion of it restricted? In the yearly numbers, you mentioned that out of $1.2 billion was restricted. I'm just curious how that evolved, given that you sold some assets. And I just basically the question is, to how much of that $820 million you have full access?
The number is coming down a little bit. The biggest part of the restricted cash is related to French energy contracts now. You were right that there was some restricted cash originally in the Brazilian operation, nothing in the Thai operations. So now the bulk part is in France. So it has come down maybe a little bit over time, but no, there's not a significant change to that.
Okay, thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you for your question. Our next question is from...
Budget Matthews.
Please go ahead.
Hi, most of my questions have been answered, but I did want to pick up on the magazine business. I'm just taking a step back here. If I look at the 2013 so far, I appreciate you had some one-off items in the second quarter, but the performance of that as a business unit is responsible for a significant amount of the decline, certainly versus 2012. I appreciate that you're taking actions at Walsall, the temporary downtime there, but as I think about this business into 2014 and what is a realistic margin that you are thinking of as a management team as to what is achievable here? It's running at very low levels of the EBITDA margin right now. Can you say anything around what it is that you would expect this business to be capable of in 2014?
I think we can say at least we can give you some of the factors we think about. So certainly the machine shut-in will enable us to take out some of the weaker volumes that we have, both exports and also some European volumes out of Austin, which is the highest cost mill in that segment. We also have the effect of energy efficiency investments in the Norwegian major mill. So these are, let's say, the two things we do in addition to normal productivity and cost reduction work. The rest is probably a little bit up to the marketplace if you think about the absolute margin. I don't really see over time there is any reason why our magazine business should be weaker than the newsprint business. So for Kelly, we also aim to improve significantly, but for the, let's say, internal actions with the biggest effects is these two things: taking out the poorest volumes from the Valsund mill with the highest cost, and the effect of the energy efficiency in Norway.
Can you give us an approximation of the number of tons that you were moving from Europe to Australasia?
Approximation of the tons, we could probably say that at the maximum we probably move the total boiler capacity will be about 150,000 tons on an annualized basis. So if you want to fill a quarter of pre-marketing, it's in the magnitude of 40,000
tons. Okay, so similar to the type of volume that when the boiler conversion is completed.
This is, let's say, most of these customers will think on their needs on an annual basis and want to at least have some volume security, if not necessarily price security for the whole year. And they think of a calendar, obviously, and they have now probably quite a few of our competitors have reduced the commitments for next year because of the currency exchange. So we basically have an opportunity to go in and fill the first quarter before we get our own products from board.
Okay. Maybe this has been covered already, but perhaps you could just set out exactly what you're saying to the market as regards the boiler conversion and the impact, firstly, that there's of any downtime that you're taking in the fourth quarter and first quarter of next year associated with that, and then what you believe the opportunity is in terms of the earnings uplift you think is probable once that machine is completed from April onwards. If you could remind us, that would be great. Thank you.
The downtime is basically the total process takes about 10 to 12 weeks, so the downtime will be one machine will be down for the first quarter, so Boyer is still operating his newsprint machine, which is not converted, but the machine that is being converted is for practical purposes is out in the first quarter. When it comes to what we have said in the past also on the investment, it's a gross investment of 84 million Australian dollars, and it's a relatively rapid payback if you look at it from our point of view. So we think in terms of a payback of 3.5 to 4 years.
Okay, all right, thanks very much.
Thank you for your question. Our next question is from
Jen Candela.
Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Just a couple of quick follow-ups, if I may. Firstly, just wanted to get back to your comments on Australia regarding the contract, which was basically broken, and you're receiving the break fee. I just wanted to understand. Did I hear that the customer contributed about a fifth of the Australian revenue?
I gave you a sense that this is about the fifth of our newsprint business in that area.
Okay, this is a fifth of the total newsprint business, not outside Europe.
No, the Australian business.
Yeah, okay, sure, thanks. Secondly, just wanted to understand, in answer to another question, did you say that you were trying to get a similar kind of negotiations with other customers as well, or no?
I think the benefit of this contract is that we have a longer-term contract beyond 2015 out some of the operating uncertainty. Obviously, still we have the volume risk, so we would probably look to do similar things, not necessarily at the same time and at the same type of on terms that we will probably look to do similar things with all the customers in the area also.
Right. And just one last question on the Australian contract. Did you say that you're taking the volume risk, but the pricing is contracted up until 2020? Or I mean, I couldn't catch part of that.
The contract has worked and will still work the way that the margin is quite predictable, in the sense that the pricing and the surcharges for logistics, etc., are agreed up front. They do move a little bit, but it's not dependent on any external factors, and then the volume risk is ours, since if the customers buy less, we sell less volume.
Right, okay. And just one quick thing on the magazine business. I just wanted to understand from your Q3 comments, you know, you talked about what is happening at Parenco, and also generally what you mentioned as the Norskog PISA divestment. I was just trying to understand where exactly, how do you break up the weakness in terms of, you know, the divestments and the underlying economic environment. Is it possible to give us a kind of a bridge in terms of what constituted how much in terms of the EBITDA weakness?
Well, there are several factors including this, but if you remember the guidance we gave, which was a soft guidance, but nonetheless not so far from the truth, but you will conclude that a relatively big chunk is related to the PISA deconsolidation.
Okay, perfect. And last question on restricted cash. Did I hear you correctly say that the amount of restricted cash has not changed from the previous levels to now?
It has been
As a proportion, I mean as a proportion?
It has been reduced somewhat from our previous guidance, but it has not materially changed.
So where did you place the amount as right now? Was it 820 which you report in your books?
Yeah, so most of this is in French prepayment contracts, so also where we can talk about sort of in the past we talked about 350 million restricted. This amount is less now, but it's not. It has not been significantly reduced, so maybe around 300 million.
Right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for your question. Okay, good to inform you that there are no further questions in the question queue at the moment.
Yeah, thank you very much for attending the conference call. This concludes the conference call today. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Have a good day. Thank you.